Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
I've heard of a land of joy and peace and wonderful light, a beautiful place of mansions fair and skies ever bright, where all who believe the Savior dear forever shall stay. And having been saved, to stray, yes, singing his praises all day long, I'm going that way. On the last, I know I shall meet him at the gate when trials are past. I know I shall meet him face to face in glory at last. And though I believe that when we meet, well done he will say, for trusting his soul redeeming love, I'm going that way, I'm going that way, I'm going that way. And Jesus the Savior I adore is with me. Yes, singing his praises all day long, I'm going that way.
Let me say a couple of words of introductory kind of stuff. Brother Alton, your message was wonderful this morning, but toward the end of it, I was really rooting for you. When you said, I'm going to take this coat off, I was saying, amen, amen, amen. But you didn't, so that means I got to keep this on the whole time. All right. Anyway, it's good to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you tonight. I'd like to say a couple things about our church and about us before we get started. I just need to say this. We are so privileged to be a part of Westside Baptist Church. I don't know your circumstance, what brought you in, but I know me. I was looking for a church home, and I found one. And y'all are about the biggest support group I've got, and we all have that possibility. You come in here a little bit hurt, a little bit wounded, and there's some folks here that'll love you. You come in with needs, folks here will take care of it. And I'm thrilled to be a part of that. And I'd like to say something about the household of faith before we get started. We, every one of us that are members at Westside Baptist Church, the born-again folk, we are a part of a household of faith. We're a part of a body. And what that means is that my expression and your expression of faith is to build us each up. Okay? We have the privilege of coming to here and being an encouragement to one another and expressing our faith in here and getting all pumped up. And then we have the privilege of taking that faith outside and sharing it with somebody out there. And I would encourage, we've had a couple of encouraging songs, you know, Jesus was there all the time, you know, and a good word of testimony. I'd like to say to you that you don't want to leave this, okay? I understand if somebody gets a promotion and has to move to Montana or something, you'd have to move your membership. I understand that. But when you get there, find you another place to be a part of. You don't ever want to move away from a household of faith. From a place where your faith means something to somebody, and so that their faith means something to you as well. God's not interested in a bunch of Lone Ranger Christians. You know, I make fun of John Wayne, you know, I walk around, you know, this is my John Wayne walk, you know. But when it comes to Christianity, God doesn't want a John Wayne heroic kind of a Christian. I'm a dependent Baptist. I depend on Jesus, number one, but then I depend on you for my needs here. Okay? And by the way, y'all ought to depend not on just me, but on each other, such that we get what we need, and we are a needy people. Okay? There's nobody in this house that is above hurt and above needs and above, and just say, I don't need any of that stuff. No. Yes, you do. I tell people all the time, you ought to come to church. Well, I don't, you know, blah, blah. And I've told 1,000 people, you need what we got way worse than we need you. I'll tell you that for a fact. A person outside that's a Christian, they need us more than we need them. Now, we need Christians and we need members. That's a good thing. But when you weigh it out in the balance, one individual Christian that can come in the midst of 100 Christians, we can offer them something they can't get anywhere else. Okay? That's all I'm going to say about that. If you want to, you can turn. I've got 4 texts. They're all in Psalms and Proverbs. I'm going to read them to you, and then I'm going to preach to you a little bit. I want to give you a plan for living. And while you're getting ready, let me go ahead and say something. I'm old, and I've begun repeating myself. And I'm shooting myself in the foot a lot anyway, because I've got a Sunday school class, and then I've got a Monday night Bible class. Then I've got a Tuesday night session that I do with another church. And then every once in a while I get to preach up here, you know. And so I got a lot of opportunity to say a lot of stuff. If I say the same thing tonight that I said last Sunday, just love me and forgive me and just say, well, he's old. He can get away with this stuff, okay? I don't remember half what I say most of the time anyway. My children, they're good enough to me and honest enough with me. They'll say, Dad, you already told that. Stop. You know, okay. Okay, I'll stop. Don't you stop me, okay? I mean, just like I say, just put up with me and forget it and just move on. But if I repeat myself, I'm sorry. That's all I'm going to say. Let me read to you. Proverbs 16, verse number 9, we're going to look at tonight a plan for living, a very simple plan for living. Proverbs 16, 8 says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but listen to this, but the Lord decideth his steps. God's in charge. Proverbs 3, verse 5, very familiar to you, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. What I'm saying to you is that business about John Wayne Christians, okay? We need to lean on his understanding rather than ours. God's plan's always better than our plan. Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I don't know if parents still do this, but I know when I was a kid, my mama could see me across acres, and just give me a look, and I knew 2 things. I better stop what I'm doing, and I'm going to get it when I get home, just with a look. God says that's the way I ought to be able to direct your steps. I ought to be able to just give you my God look, and you do what's right. One more, and we're ready to preach. Psalm 37, 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. What I'm saying to you tonight, those verses, and I just go ahead and tell you the truth. I could have preached this whole message without reading those verses, but I'm ashamed of myself when I stand up and start preaching if I don't have a text. You know what I'm saying? So, but anyway, the things that I'm going to say are very, very simple. I'm going to preach a simple message to some simple folks. Okay, and I don't mean simple-minded. I'm just talking about simple. We are a people that are not so sophisticated. We're just regular old folks, and I'm going to preach a simple message tonight. And hopefully be able to tell you some things about how to live. Now, here's what I want you to do. I've got a part in this message. You got a part. My part is to get up here and holler and scream and shout and spit a little bit. I'm going to do that part. I'm going to ask you, in the back of your mind, while I'm speaking and preaching to you, just kind of subliminal almost, just kind of in your mind, I want you to recall some of last year, some of the things that have happened to you last year, and my hope and my prayer is that as you think about those things that have occurred in your life, now don't get so involved in it where you're, you know, like all about, no, listen to me, okay, because I've got some important things to say to you. But at the same time, just kind of meditate on those just a little bit. And what I'm hoping at the end of this thing, somebody will say, you know what, if I'd have put those three simple rules to work last year, things might have turned out a little bit different. And if that be the case, then at the end, when somebody comes up here to sing a little bit and play some piano and we have an invitation, you might want to just come down here and find you a place. You don't have to have a partner with you to pray if you don't want to just come up here. But I think it'd be a good idea for somebody to say, you know what, Lord, that 2016 thing, it's coming and we can't stop it. It's on the way. It's going to be here. I'm going to have another year of life. And Lord, I think I'd like for it to be a little bit better than last year. And so I'm thinking that if these simple rules that Brother Joe gives me tonight, if they'll work, then I want to commit myself to them such that I reap the benefits. And I don't think God will mind that a bit. Will you being just selfish enough to say, I want the good stuff, Lord, and the only way I feel like I can get it is come down here and speak with you about it and commit myself to a possibly a new way. Some of you may already have this down pat, and this is just old hat to you. That's all right. I want to give you three things. Three assumptions about all of us. Okay, these are three. This isn't rules. This is just three things about all of us. Number one, are you ready? You don't even need to take notes. This is so simple. Number one, everybody wants to be successful. And I'm not talking about I'm a rock star now and I got $1 million in the bank and I got gold fixtures in my bathroom. I'm not talking about that kind of success. Talking to God's people about godly things, about spiritual things. And what I'm saying to you is every one of us would like to be good at what we do. Like, I'm a daddy, okay? I want to be a good daddy. I want to be successful at being a father. You're a husband. You're a wife. You're a young folks. And y'all want to be good kids. I just have an idea that would be, please tell me I'm right. Please tell me I'm right about that. That y'all would rather be successful, obedient, good children rather than being some rebellious little snot, okay? Would you do that? Amen. All right. All of us have a desire and a need to be successful at what we do. Spiritually, family business, church business, community business, everywhere we go as God's child, we ought to be top shelf. We ought to be the best there is. And not so you can brag about it, but so you can give God the glory. But if you're a husband, you ought to desire and seek after being a good one, okay, and right on down the line. Second, truth about each one of us. Number one, you want to be successful. Number two, you want to feel needed, necessary. When I was a kid, lived kind of in the country. It was a developing, it was like one of those third world countries. You know, we had dirt roads for a while, and then we got actual pavement. But I was in a developing area in West Palm Beach, outside of West Palm Beach, and there was kids everywhere. It was nothing for us to get a dozen kids together and play football. You could do it with two phone calls. Hey, you get Billy, and you get this one, and we go play football. And here's the way you do that kind of thing when a sandlot pickup game. Okay, let's see, you're the best, and you're the best, so you guys be the captains. And then the captains would choose the rest of us. Okay, I was never captain. I never was that good. But they say, all right, we'll take you. This other one, take this one. And you know what it boiled down to? That last kid that got selected was the lousiest, sorriest, most pitiful player of whatever sport. If we were playing basketball, there's always one of them that was a loser. Okay, playing football, always one of them that was a loser. Okay, do you follow what I'm saying? That kid didn't come on the team, the last one, come on and say, boy, I bet you guys are glad I'm on the team. Oh, yeah, we're going to win this thing. No, no, no. He came slinking in with his tail tucked between his legs because he knew he wasn't any good and he knew he wasn't really necessary, but you can't just leave a couple of them on the side and not pick them, okay? Does that work at church? When you walk in the church, wouldn't you rather feel necessary to the church than to feel like nobody wants me, nobody needs me around here? If I just curled up and died and went home, it wouldn't matter. Nobody would care. Nobody'd miss me. Come on, y'all, smile or do something out there. I want to feel necessary wherever I am. I've got 7 children, 8 grandchildren, 1 great-grandchild, and when I walk in, I want them all to say, hey, Pawpaw's here. Unfortunately, they don't, but I'd like it if they did. Some would say, oh, Papa's here. We'll never get any seconds now. Anyway, third thing. I can't help it. I'm transparent. Third thing. You want to feel secure about the future. If you're here tonight and saved, you already have taken care of the big security, the eternal security. You're saved, you're God's child, you're on the way to heaven. But wouldn't it feel nice to be completely secure in all your relationships? You young folks over here, you got 1,000 relationships to go through before finally you settle down at age 35 or so and pick you one for final. This happens all the time, on and on. But wouldn't it be nice tonight if every guy in here could say, you know what, I don't have to worry about my wife one bit. There's no way in the wide world that she's going to fail me in any way. I can trust her and love her, and I know there will be zero, zero chance of her ever messing up. And ladies, wouldn't it be nice if you could say the same about him, okay? Wouldn't it be nice to just have that security? Now, I'm going to tell you something that I can't help you with tonight at all. About 2 months ago in Charleston, South Carolina, folks went to prayer meeting, and 9 of them didn't go home. They were gunned down. Paris, there was 100 and some odd messed up in that place over there. San Bernardino, a week ago, 14 dead, 22 injured. I can't help you much with that, but I'll say this. If you're born again, that final, ultimate stage of security, God can take care of it. So if you do wind up in a mess like that and lose, you're on the way. Amen to that. Now, I wish I could offer you some security about, and I mean, if I go to selling ADT security systems, I might could help you. But the truth of the matter is, I'm not as interested in that as I am security in Christ, security in your church relationship, security in your family relationship. Crime, I don't know if y'all know it, but crime is on the increase. It's everywhere, even in Alabama. I heard Glenda telling this morning, she picked up her children over in the fellowship hall, and I heard her talking to some of the women in there, and she said, oh, it was the scariest thing. She said, we had a burglary inside the house. There was a noise in there. She said, I jumped up out of the bed and took off, and there, right from under the feet, it was 2 men's feet sticking right out from under the bed. And the woman said, oh, mercy, was it the burglar? She said, no, it was Mike. He heard the noise too. Sister, I feel like you owe me just a little bit for that. I can't make up for all he's done up there, but that ought to make up for at least one of them. I'm on your side. So, amen to that. I think that was a true story. I'm not sure. Now, here comes the three rules. I'm going to give you three rules that if you'll follow these carefully, you can attain those three levels that we just talked about, those desires. They're very simple, innate desires that everybody, to one degree or another, we experience those. And I'm going to try to help you tonight by giving you three rules for living that will help you to attain those three desires. The older I get, did I say last time when I preached, did I say anything about being old and life getting simpler for me and there was a lot of yes and no? Did I say that? Somebody said no and she said yes. I think she's just trying to put me on the spot. Well, I'm going to say it again. The older I get, the less complicated things seem to me. I see it comes to a kind of a black and white decision, yes or no. And so I'm going to try to be as simple as I can tonight. Life is simple. It's not as complex as what we oftentimes make it. And I will tell you, just in case somebody said, you don't know, Brother Joe, because life isn't all that simple. Life is complex. I'm going to tell you some things that I learned this past week. Did you know that in the most beautiful rainbow across the sky, horizon to horizon, beautiful, there's only 7 colors in that rainbow. Do you know that? Look what Rembrandt did with those seven colors. Those guys back then, Monet and Van Gogh and Rembrandt and all those old-time artists, they didn't have Photoshop and they didn't have a color mixer on their computer. You know what they had? A palette with seven little wads of paint on it and a couple of paintbrushes in their hand. And by careful application on a piece of canvas and some right mixing on that canvas now is worth millions. Seven basic colors. Seven notes in the music. So, do, re, mi, fa, lo, so. What is it? I don't know. Let me try that again. Okay. Y'all know what I'm talking about now, don't you? There's seven notes, okay? But you think about those seven notes, and look what Brahms did with that. Look what Beethoven did with that. Look what B.B. King did with it. I think B.B. King only played four notes, actually. And it was a long time since he's hit all the notes right anyway. He's so old, he's gone now. Do you follow what I'm saying, folks? Life is simple. All of it is simple. There's only 10 numbers in the decimal system. You start with 0, 1, 2, 3, like to 9. That's 10 numbers. And in the next year, we are going to see those 10 numbers wore, slapped out by a bunch of politicians and pollsters and everything. You'll hear percents up and percents down and this one doing this and millions of people over here and population. You'll hear all those numbers, but there's really only just 10 numbers in the whole system. So I feel confident saying that tonight that I can give you three simple rules for all of us simple folks that might make a difference, a change in how we live. It doesn't have to be complicated. Rule number one, you're going to love this, so simple. Always do what's right. How do you know what's right? Brother Alton, you're a pastor. How do you know what's right? Where does right living come from? Where is it revealed to us how to do what's right? In the Bible. Okay, that was easy. Everybody, you ever notice when the preacher says, answer me this, everybody goes, like this, because they think it's a trick question. Okay. Do what's right. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul has a string about this long, a list of how to live. He says, y'all are a baby church. You're all baby Christians. Let me tell you what has happened in your life. You used to be liars and thieves. You cheated. You were angry. You had bad temper. You were bitter. He said, but then Jesus came in and you got saved. Your old man did that kind of stuff. Paul said, let me tell you how to do the right stuff. Instead of lying, tell the truth. Instead of stealing, get a job and take your paycheck and buy what you need and have a little bit left over to help somebody else with. Instead of going to bed angry at night, take care of that. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Get over that kind. Do you see what I'm saying? Isn't that simple? Just do what's right. Somebody said, well, wait a minute, that's only three or four things. What else do you reckon I ought to do right? Go to Exodus chapter 20. 10 commandments there. Now, you don't have to worry about the Sabbath one, so we're down to 9. But those 9 would be a help to you. What do they say? Don't lie. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't kill. There's a whole bunch of things that we know not to do. So do what's right in every case. What happens if we do that? If we always do what's right, guess what? People look at you and they'll trust you. They'll say, you know what? You can trust that. Now, if we've got some folks here that you've been sorry for 40 years and you've always done wrong stuff and bad stuff, and you make a commitment tonight and you start doing good stuff tomorrow, it may take a while for us to get over that thing. Okay, it may take us a little while, but there will come a time if you consistently do what's right that people will say, you know what? You can trust the guy. He's not smart. He's not cute. None of that. But you can trust him. He'll do what's right. I know it. That is good. I want to be trusted. When I leave, I want to leave a legacy. I'd like for y'all to say, you know what? He was a fine old fella. You know, he was here for 14 years, and then he died. Isn't that one? You know, one thing about old Brother Joe, you could always trust him. Wouldn't tell you no lies. He'd just do what's right. Hey, you could just trust him. Number two, second rule. Wait a minute, I don't want to leave out anything. Oh, man, I'm glad I looked at my notes. I did not want to leave this out. I'm going to add something to what Paul said. Paul said all that, no lying, no cheating, no stealing, all that stuff. That was that. I would like to add in there, and this is good for a lot of you. We ought to have a good attitude about stuff. We ought to just go ahead and be positive and live life in expectation. We ought to have that kind of an outlook on life that says, you know what? Hey, I'm going to have a good day. Did I tell you about Joel Osteen last week? Did I mention that? Okay, good. The other day, I've got cable now. I don't have to worry about the antenna anymore, so I can get more than three or four stations. It's kind of cool. I was sitting there eating, and I was tired of watching Velocity. He's got me hooked on a bunch of Velocity stuff, and so you watch that. But you know, if you watch it about 3 hours, you've seen them all. They'll come on over and over and over again. Well, I was sick of watching that. I sat down to eat my lunch, and there I was, and had my meal in my hand, and I clicked on, gee, I'm not watching that. Fox News, no, I don't even want it. Let me see what else is on. And so I went to that TBN station. Now, it's dangerous. As soon as I flicked it on to that channel, whatever number it is, there's Smiley Boy. Big old smile on his face, preaching to a stadium full, okay? And he actually said something that I agreed with. Brother, don't panic. You know what he said? He said, you people out here, and he did like this. He said, you folks out here, there's a multitude out of you, out here that you get up in the morning, you wake up, and before you roll out of the bed, you have designed a failed day. You wake up, you say, oh, the work's so hard. The boss is so mean. I've got such a long drive. The commute is so bad. And he said, before you ever get out of the bed, you're ruined for the day. And I said, well, glory, Joel, I think you've been reading my notes and listening to me. My goodness, that's the truth. Let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Instead of rolling out of the bed with all that negative and failure and all that stuff, why don't you, when you wake up in the morning, say, God, this is another day. It's a day that you made. I'm going to be glad and rejoice in this day. I'm going to have me a good day. Sun's coming up out there. This is wonderful. I've got a job to go to. Glory. And I mean, I don't. That was just preaching. Boy, I about got mixed up there. Did I ever tell y'all I'm retired? Glory. I love every minute of it. The only drawback to a retirement is you never get a day off. It's always the same thing. Y'all got no sense of humor at all. Did I lose you on that? It's all right. I can preach over her. Don't fret. We ought to begin our day with God on our side and positive outlook, saying, you know what? Today is going to be a good day. What would happen if you actually did that? Let's just say tomorrow morning you woke up. What if you actually got up in the morning and said, Lord, I'm looking forward to today. There's no telling what might happen. And I know I can see the wheels turn already. Some of you are saying, oh yeah, I don't know what's going to happen, but it ain't going to be good, okay? God will give you the victory. You can have a good day. If you wake up in the morning looking for that good day, God's able to present that to you in a way such that you'll be able to say at the end of the day, Lord, you're right, it was a good day. I enjoyed this. I want to read you a little thing. When life is sweet, say thank you and celebrate. When life is bitter, say thank you and grow. That was good too, wasn't it? Did you write that down? You can use that somewhere else. You can't use it here. I just used it now. I can give you the notes later if you like. Did you get that? When things are good, say thank you, Lord, and celebrate it. And when it's bad, thank you, Lord, and grow a little bit. Hate to say this, but there's a lot of folks, maybe some here, that even when things are good, you ain't celebrating and thanking God like you ought to. Some of us take it for granted. I've had some good days, okay? And if I'm not real careful, I'll get used to it, and I won't be near as thankful, and I won't rejoice near as much. Every once in a while, God has to slip me a bad one just so I remember what the good ones are like, so I'll be thankful like I ought to be. Rule number two, I think. Two, yeah. Do the best of your ability in the time allotted. Whatever you touch, do it to the best of your ability in the time allotted. I heard some preacher say one time, delayed obedience is disobedience. That means God says to you, here's what I want you to do. Hey, I'm nudging your little heart. There's a neighbor or a worker, co-worker or something. I want you to talk to him about my son Jesus. And you say, tomorrow I will. Well, between right now and tomorrow, you are disobeying God. So in the time allotted, do whatever it is you're doing to the best of your ability. Now, could I talk baseball for just a minute? I'm not a baseball player or a baseball fan, but I know this about baseball. Let's just say, who's the good pitcher right now? Any pitcher. Name me one. Who? Oh, he's, no, I know better than that. He's retired. Let's just say an unnamed pitcher. He can throw a 110-mile-an-hour fastball. He's got a curve that will not quit. I mean, it breaks like that on a dime. You know. He's got a slider or let-up, whatever it is, where it looks like he's throwing it real fast, but then it slows down, and the hitter goes like this, and after a while the ball gets there, okay? Completely confuses him. This guy is the best pitcher anywhere. Now, he's watching like this, like they always do. You know, well, they look like this. You know, because they got that water thing in there. And he's looking down there, and he sees the catcher. And the catcher's down there, and he's wiggling his fingers around here. Give him the sign. And he says, okay. And he rears back to do one of them 110-mile-an-hour fastballs. And the catcher's not even there. He's walked away. He's on the way to the dugout. The ball hits the back fence back there, and they score 3 runs. Let me ask you a question. How good can a pitcher be if his catcher's not doing his job? Let me ask you this. How good can a church be if you ain't doing your job right? Uh-huh. It'd be just about like that pitcher throwing that ball. Boy, it would have been a good one if the catcher would have just been there to catch it, okay? But he wasn't there. Did you know that every time you miss, somebody's going to miss you? Well, maybe they're not. I thought somebody would say amen. If you're not here doing what you're supposed to be doing, you've left a vacancy. I'm saying to you that if you want to fail, you can fail. But if you fail, you're taking somebody else down with you. And so I'm going to say to you, even though I said you're allowed to fail, I'm changing my mind. If you're a Christian, no, you're not allowed to fail. You are not allowed to just do a halfway job. Again, an amen would fit right nicely in there. Do the best of your ability in the time allotted. What is that time allotted? It's right now for most of what we do. Right now is the time. The Bible says something about 70. You've only got roughly 70 years or so. Well, glory to God. If you don't do your 70 years worth, you know what? You're leaving a void. You're leaving some undone things. And you have, every time you have failed, you have caused somebody else to do less than their best. Simple, but it's true. Rule number 3. Again, let me check and make sure I haven't left out anything. We're good. Show people you care. Show people you care. Show people that you love them. What does that take? What does it mean? If I'm going to show folks that I care when I come to church, what do you reckon I ought to do just to show people that I care a little bit? What can I do over here at the church house? Speak to them. Amen. Is there anything else? Huh? Hug them. I'm getting good at that. Joe Hollinshed's teaching me about that stuff. Monday night Bible study, I confessed here a good while back that I've got some real deficiencies about love. I can't love right, and I'm very short in that feel. I just don't love right. I don't feel like I do. And we were talking about family. And he said something about every time we get together, we're hugging one another and hugging all the grandbabies. I said, we don't do that. You know, our family just doesn't do that. It's my fault. I agree with that. It's my fault. I'm the one that failed. But we're not very touchy-feely. He said, you will be after this every time I see Hollinshed. Like, I'm getting better. I'm getting better. I'm getting where I can hug a little bit. How many of you remember when Larry Brown used to come here and preach camp meetings just about every year? I remember him standing up here one day. Doyle Bledsoe was on the piano over here. It was right at the end. And one of the women came over and hugged Doyle's neck. And Larry Brown said, I wonder how old I'm going to have to get before I can hug women and not be counted as a pervert. I thought Larry Brown was pretty funny with that. But you know what? I'm old enough now that I can hug folks and not be worried about being accused of much of anything. So, yeah. Some things to show people that you care. You can smile at them. You can speak to them. You can hug them. You can put your arm around their shoulder a little bit. And when they have a need, you can bake them an apple pie. There's a ton of things that we can do to just show people that we care for them. Remember that when I started off, I said there's three things that we all desire. One of them is to feel needed. What if somebody comes in here and nobody touches them? Nobody speaks to them. Nobody does anything nice. Number one, they're not going to feel real needed. Okay, they're not going to feel necessary to the function of the body. I'm saying to you, we ought to show people that we care. If we do what's right every time, we show that we can be trusted. If we do everything to the best of our ability, folks will after a while think, you know, he's committed. He's dedicated. He's doing what's right, but he's doing it to the best of his ability. He's committed. And then if we love one another and show folks that we care for them just a little bit, they'll say, you know what? That old boy, he cares. He cares about folks. And when I do that, and folks like that I do that, you know what? I'm fulfilling one of my desires. I'm gonna become necessary to the function here. Wouldn't it be nice if you had to go somewhere and leave? I hope you don't. But if you just had to leave, you had to move to Montana like that guy that got the promotion a little while ago, and we're leaving. We're having a going away party. Wouldn't it be nice for somebody to say to you, I don't know how in the world West Side's going to make it without you. I tell you what, you've just always been such a blessing. Oh, and the church liable to fold without you being here. Wouldn't it be great? I mean, it wouldn't be true, but wouldn't it be nice to hear that kind of thing from somebody? That you have made a difference at West Side Baptist Church. You've made a difference in your family. You've made a difference out in the community where you work and that kind of thing. Wouldn't that be wonderful? By us following those three very simple rules, I believe we can make a difference not only for ourselves, but for those right around us. And guess what? Let me just go ahead and say this. Showing people you care, that's not just for the church house. Okay? Some of y'all, you got family and friends and that kind of stuff. Every once in a while, you can show that you care by, I don't know, mow their grass. I don't know. Take them a flower. Write them a card. Some little something that says they care. They care. My neighbor cares a little bit about me. My church member loves me a little bit and cares about me. That guy at the job that's having such a tough time, what if you bought a 39-cent card and put it on his desk and says, I'm thinking about you and praying for you, chin up, pal, and signed your little name to it and left it on his desk so that when he came there in the morning time, he'd see that. Wouldn't it be nice for him to think that you really cared about him? I'll tell you a story about a woman that I pastored so many years ago. Her name's Carolyn Hawkins. She was one of the teachers in our Christian school. And she would work and she did everything. I was going through a bad time. I mean a bad time. I was just about ready to walk off, quit, go somewhere else, get me a job selling cars, something. And I came to church one morning, and there on my desk, I've still got it, a little round thing about that big around, and it was I don't know what you call it, but you use thread and makes words and stuff. Cross-stitch. Okay, that's what it is. She cross-stitched this thing, and it said, smile, preacher. God loves you. CWH at the bottom. Carolyn, whatever W stands for, Hawkins. I've still got that thing today. I'm talking today. That's 40 years ago, and I've still got that little thing. Why? Because it said to me, somebody cares. Somebody loves me, okay? What are you going to do with this kind of a thing? I know it's not much preaching, you know. What are you going to do with it? What will you do? Did you do as I commanded you a little while ago, and did you roll those things around, the things that happened in your life? I'm going to say to you, there's a new year coming, and there's going to be more of the same coming this year. You're going to have some blessings. You're going to have some things worth celebrating. But you're going to have some disaster in your life this upcoming year. And I'm satisfied that if we'll do as God would instruct us, and as your preacher buddy has done tonight, instructing you how to live very simply, three rules, I have an idea that next year, if we're still here and the Lord hadn't come, if we meet next year, maybe somebody here would say, you know what? 2016 wasn't near as bad as 2015. Three little simple rules that I live, and it made a difference, okay? If you think that it might, then at the invitation in about 30 seconds, why don't you come and talk to God about it? Why don't you just come and find your place down here? Say, Lord, I want to try it. I want to give it a whirl. With you helping, I'm sure I can do it, okay? Let's bow for prayer. Father, I pray, God, thy will be done. Would you take these three simple rules, these few simple words, and help us, Lord, to maybe live a little bit more hopeful life, a little bit more expectant life. God, would you help us? I pray, Father, that the upcoming year, we know that there's some catastrophe on the way. We know it. There's no question about it. We'll have some upsets. But Lord, how I pray that you give us the kind of an attitude that says, my God can handle this, and me on his side, I just can't lose. God, would you help us? Lord, we want to look at day by day, a life that will be pleasing to you and a life that will make a difference in somebody else's life. We're going to pray during the invitation, Lord, again. Your will be done. Whatever that might be, we're asking for you to lead, guide, and direct in these few minutes as we sing an invitation song. And Father, we're going to thank you and praise you right now for what you're going to do in the next few minutes, simply because we ask it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand to your feet, if you will, please.